Only 60 yards of offense for the Falcons since halftime, and Cousins is sacked. Guess who? T.J. Watt putting an exclamation on this one.
Well, the way the second half went, that feels like a very fitting end of how this game is going to conclude. They had no answer for the Pittsburgh pass rush. T.J. Watt was a force the entire game, had two strip sack fumbles negated for penalties.
I mean, yeah, we usually just talk on Fridays, and, you know, he gets a feel of, you know, what concepts I like, what plays I like, and stuff like that. And then we just meet on Saturday again and just go over the same thing, his opening thoughts, what he's thinking. So, you know, just that QB-OC connection and kind of him knowing what I like and, you know, me knowing why he's calling a certain play, it just makes our offense click more.
Good morning, everybody. T.J. Watt with the walk-off sack, and that was Justin Fields talking about Arthur Smith, his OC, going into Atlanta 9 months after getting canned and getting that dub. Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. We've got 4 hours to break this thing down for you. It's going to go in a bunch of different directions. But I tweeted out right after the game, Doran, that while the Steelers didn't score any touchdowns, it looked different to me. It felt different to me. And I got a lot of pushback on that. The tweet exploded. Still no touchdowns. It looked just like last year. Doran, do you agree with me that it looked different? Or do you think that it was just a continuation of 2023 offensively?
It looked way different.
Yep.
Looked way different. The little things. I mean, it's the first game of the year. You have your backup quarterback that's on short notice. You know, I know that Justin Fields has been preparing for this game, as everybody else was, but just not in the manner of being the starting quarterback, the number one guy to go in there and run the offense. So on Friday, you get the news really about, or Thursday, you get the news about Russell Wilson, and Friday, you only have that day to really prepare. And Saturday, you're probably in the film room, you're doing some walkthroughs, preparing a little bit more, but not a full week for Justin Fields. I thought it looked exactly like it should have. Exactly like I thought it was going to look. And I was encouraged. I was encouraged that, you know, your backup quarterback and a guy that, you know, we've seen play in Chicago went in there and did the things he was supposed to do. Actually, he was efficient with the football. You know, sometimes he's not. Like, there's a lot of little things, and we're going to break it all down this Monday. But I was definitely encouraged. I don't care if they didn't score a touchdown. I mean, it's the first game of the year. You're just trying to feel some things out. You just want to get a win. Really?
17 out of 23 for Justin Fields.
Yeah.
Who, like you said, didn't know he was going to be the starting quarterback. I don't know what I really believe. Best case scenario is, in terms of time and preparation, he found out on Friday. Worst case scenario is he finds out for real on Sunday. He might have found out on Saturday. I don't really care what they said about it. He didn't get to practice with the ones the entire week, which is going to make a difference. And yet he goes 17 out of 23 for 156. Those aren't great numbers, but guess what? I don't think he put the ball in harm's way one time.
Nope.
Not one time. Najee Harris, 70 yards rushing. Justin Fields with 57 yards rushing. Obviously, his leg's a big part of his game. George Pickens, the leading receiver. Pat Freiermuth, the second leading receiver. Nothing surprising there. Jaylen Warren, the third leading receiver. It's almost like, Thorne, we know what we're talking about because that's what we said would happen.
Yep.
If it were Justin Fields, heavy dose of run, try not to turn it over, and see what happens. The Steelers ran for 137 yards. And it looked different. Three tight end sets. Two tight end sets. Darnell Washington moving people. Unbalanced lines. So while the layman Steelers fan looks at it and goes, wow, it's just like last year. Kick a bunch of field goals, win with defense, other team turns it over. I thought the way they got from point A to point B looked totally different. And the rushing attack looked like it had a purpose.
Yeah.
It wasn't just, we're going to hand the ball off. Schematically, personnel-wise, they have an intention to impose their will and run the football up your butt, and that's exactly what they did in this game. Yards per carry is not going to blow you away, but it's what we said would happen if Justin Fields started, and I thought they really did everything they wanted, apart from putting it in the end zone.
I mean, the three big plays to George Pickens, and the one that, you know, the offensive pass interference was ridiculous.
Garbage.
I think
call.
Everybody understands that. This not being biased Steeler fans, if you're a Steeler fan watching, it's not like that was a garbage call. But the three plays to George Pickens that Fields had, that play, you had the one before halftime, whenever he ran the, you know, the bender route and almost didn't go out of bounds and, you know, got caught, but thank God he did. And then the other big play, those plays are set up because of the run. And we knew that that was going to happen. Like that's how they want to play. But the fact that Justin Fields connected on those plays is very promising. That's different. That is different. And the rhyme or reason and what you're saying, the rhyme or reason of running plays and the sets that they had set up those big plays.
Yes.
You did not have that continuity last year. It was just running plays to run plays. That should be encouraging moving forward. And then we're going to get into it. We're going to get into the whole quarterback situation going into next week. But I think that if you were assessing Justin Fields, I think that you should be encouraged. You should feel that he did the things that he needed to do to win. You just read off the box score. That's exactly what he does. 57, 60, 70, 80 yards rushing. Running back having a good game, having a lot of rushing yards. And then one receiver, that's Arthur Smith's offense, having the bulk of the receiving yards. That's exactly what we thought was going to happen. I think that should be encouraging.
I agree. And when you play big-time offenses, you're going to have to punch some of those in and get touchdowns. Didn't have to yesterday because the defense was so good, and we will get to the defense. Some more reasons why I think it looked different than last year, Doran. So you had 10 possessions, the Steelers' offense did. 2-3 and outs. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I went back and I looked. This is insane. And I'm insane. Teams average 4-3 and outs per game the last 8 years. So every team in the NFL, on average, 4-3 and outs per game. The Steelers, for the last few years, their number way above that. We only saw it twice yesterday. That's a big difference. Every time, save for two, that they had the ball, they at least got a first down. If you don't think that's night and day different than what they had with Matt Canada's offense and Kenny Pickett's offense, I don't know that you know what you're looking at. And then you mentioned the drive before halftime. I think with Matt Canada, Kenny Pickett, Mitch Trubisky, maybe even Mason Rudolph, the Steelers kneel on that ball. I think the Steelers go into their shell. I think it's a conservative approach. No, they were playing to get points.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the one. You really saw two leaky moments for the defense all game. At the beginning of the game, the first drive, and they bowed and just gave up a field goal, which was good by them. And then right before the half, they give up the touchdown. Broken coverage, who knows? Beanie Bishop, a touchdown there. Atlanta takes the lead. Steelers say, we need that momentum. They didn't kneel the ball out.
No.
They had two timeouts. We saw a big throw by Justin Fields. I don't think that's the way it goes the last few years. The last few years, I think they're either handing it off and letting the time go, or they're kneeling on the ball. This was a level of aggression that I did not expect with the backup quarterback, and a level of aggression that you're not used to seeing, frankly, from Mike Tomlin these last few years. So while the results might look similar, 18 points, 5 field goals, couple fumbled snaps, some ugly moments, a couple questionable play calls. I thought they operated in a way that was absolutely different than it's been.
You know who else is very happy that is different? Is the defense. Because the defense was on the field a lot last year. And they had to kind of revive this whole entire team last year. They're the reason why that they've won even any games. Basically, last year, there was never not a game where the defense had to play and to really bow up every single time that they were on the field. Whenever you're talking about only 2-3 and outs, if I'm a defender, if I'm Cam Hayward, thank you, offense.
Yep.
Thank you.
Time of possession, Steelers 35-36, Atlanta 24-24. Thanks for having us. And that is, to a T, how they drew it up. They were going to try to do it with Russ. Ah, we'll go to the other guy. And they go in there and they hold the ball for 30, almost 6 minutes. That's exactly what you're looking for. And you can't play defense in today's NFL for 4 quarters if you're going to be on the field for 35 minutes.
Right.
And we saw that. You're so right, man. A bunch. When it was going well last year, as it has the last few years, that is when the offense, if they're not scoring, they were at least on the field a lot. But more often than not, they weren't. Like, three and outs, and you can have the best defense in the world, and doggone it, the Steelers might. In fact, I think the Steelers do.
Same.
But if it's reversed and you're three and out, three and out, three and out.
It's impossible,
it's
almost.
It's impossible, man. Impossible. So I think this was a win that you put in your pocket and you say, apart from not putting the ball in the end zone, what did this team do that makes you go, ew, I really don't think that there was a flaw in this game from this team. You give up 10 points. You give up, what, 226 total yards? You force a bunch of turnovers, it felt like. Could have even been more. T.J. Watt had the most quiet one-sack day of all time because he had two sacks taken away due to penalties. Like, I'm trying to look around for the bad here. I'm not saying the Steelers are winning the Super Bowl. I'm not changing my prediction from 9-8. I'm not doing any of that stuff today. But apart from not putting it in the end zone with your backup quarterback, who found out on short notice, I'm not seeing a flaw yet.
And everybody's like, oh, well, same old, like you keep saying. It's the same old, like, for me, it had to look different, and for me, it did look different. It looked different than last year. If you were you had the same mentality as you did last year, and we all knew that. We all knew what they wanted to do, but does it look different? And it did. It did look different. Najee Harris looked different.
Yes, he did.
You know, I mean, just even the flow of the game, on offense at least, looked different. That's something to build on. And you didn't even basically, you know, have your starting quarterback, so we'll see what that looks like. If that is a possibility coming up this week, but...
Yeah, 7 o'clock this morning. We're going to get into that hardcore, and you can call us at 412-928-9370. The Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh Trusted Plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Sorry.
No, it just it definitely looked different to me, and I would love to hear from some people that say that it didn't look any different, and I want to know why. I want to know why, because they didn't score... Like, take out the whole touchdown thing, but tell me why it didn't look different than last year, because it absolutely did in my eyes.
It did. It did. Schematically, personnel-wise, it did look different. It looked like a grown-up offense. And if you don't think so, I hate to do this. I don't know you know what you're talking about. It results very similar. And I get that. 18 points, all the field goals, no touchdowns. But the process, to me, looked night and day better than where it's been for a quarterback who didn't get to play with the offense this week. And that they had to shift the game plan around for at the end of the week.
For me, it's hard for me to sit here and say that this is the best we're going to get out of this offense.
Agreed.
And 18 points basically was the best you were going to get out of the offense last year. Like, they are going to score touchdowns. They are going to score points. I think that this is a great starting point for them. I think it's fantastic.
And I want to get into that a little bit next. Because you're not going to see anybody's best football week one. The league is going to put the worst football on the TV these first few weeks of the season. As teams decide they're not going to play their starters in preseason, as nobody hits in training camp, September has turned into the new preseason. And we'll get into that a little bit when we come back. Also, an injury report at 6:35. We'll have our Pitt Minute. Then at 7 o'clock, we're getting into that quarterback conversation. Who should start against the Denver Broncos? That'll be the Fan Morning Show Twitter poll brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com.
They want to know, just like all of us. That's how I evaluate it. Football's our game. Our business is winning. We play today, and we play to win. We'll comb through it tomorrow. I have all that cute stuff for you on Tuesday.
Hello!
Whoa!
Careful there! So we got Patty Bostic at the end of the Pitt game almost dropping an S-bomb. We got Tom in there almost dropping and getting closer to dropping an S-bomb. But he's right. He was talking about the offensive line there. They're 1-0. He was asked to evaluate the unit. Again, they're 1-0. And it wasn't a thing of beauty yesterday. And defensively, it was. But offensively, not a thing of beauty. But guess what? They are 1-0. And when teams around the NFL are treating September like a preseason, and you play an ugly game but pull out the dub, they don't ask how, they ask how many at the end of the year.
On the road.
On the road against a team that was favored when the ball was kicked off by 4.5.
Mm-hmm. Not, you know, probably considering the emotions of your offensive coordinator.
Yep. And you find a way to win?
Yeah.
You put that in your pocket, and people, you should celebrate it. Like, I'm tired of doing the thing that we did the last few years, which was bitch, moan, and complain about wins. I'm not going to do that anymore. I hate that, actually. It drives me nuts. When I was a kid and I would go to all the games and you're swinging a terrible towel and if they'd lose, you'd be really upset. When they won, I wasn't.
Yeah, didn't matter.
It didn't matter. Right. What has happened to society? Now, look, we can do the projected out thing and you can say, well, look at the Chiefs, look at the Ravens. You're not going to be able to keep up with those offenses. Game one, there was a lot of good from the offense. Eventually, yeah, to beat great teams, you got to put the ball in the end zone. But they didn't need to do it yesterday, and they got the win.
Mm-hmm.
Also consider this, because I'm getting pushback now on the text line. We're getting pushback on the text line for saying the offense looked different. Jerry Dulac wrote the story about Troy Faltanu about a month ago, that they consider him their second-best offensive lineman already. Well, their first-best offensive lineman is Isaac Seumalo. Neither of them played. So your top two, at least in their eyes, offensive linemen don't play in the game. Your quarterback finds out, your offensive coordinator finds out probably Friday, hey, we got to shift things around, and Justin Fields is going to be the guy. And you still only have 2-3 and outs, put up 270 yards, rush for over 130 yards. Folks, take it. Be happy about it. 412-928-9370. Anything to add or disagree about?
No, I'm right with you. And I knew that people were going to be upset today, but I just think that is a great place to start. You knew exactly what they wanted to do, and they actually did. They executed it, and they made the plays when they need to make. I mean, the offensive line is really where I wanted to go.
Mm-hmm.
I thought looked pretty good.
Me too.
Pretty good for the circumstances, for a young center, for a first-time starting center. As you just said, two of their best offensive linemen were out. I thought it looked pretty decent. I mean, the pockets that Justin Fields had most of the time were pretty clean, man. They were. Like, he had some lanes if he wanted to run, too. I thought that they did a pretty good job with, you know, patching this offensive line together and having a few young guys on it. I thought they did pretty well.
I agree, man. Penalties you'd like to see cleaned up, 9 for 60. One of those was a horrendous push-off call. One of those was T.J. Watt offsides, which I also thought was a horrendous call. So there's 20 yards and two penalties right there. So it would have been 70 for 40 if they would have called things correctly. Also, I don't think that George Pickens was down by contact on the one play that they ruled him down by contact. So I didn't think it was a great officiated game, which we'll get into a little bit later on in the show. It did not look good early. I mean, first drive, man, I was thinking, okay, here's a Justin Fields experience. Two fumbled snaps. Well, one fumbled snap, one juggled snap. Mm-hmm. And then I thought was woefully inaccurate on two throws. After that first drive, he settled in. They settled in. You're going to have jitters, I think. First time, new team, on the road, found out Friday or yesterday that you're starting a football game. To be expected. Didn't wind up killing him. And I thought he put that behind him, and I thought they put that behind him really quick, actually. 412-928-9370. Shall we take calls? We got two Toms on the line, Doran.
Let's go to Tom.
This one. Tom one in the car. Good morning to you, pal.
Hey, good morning. It's Tom the water truck.
What up, Tom?
Chilling. Hey, I tell you exactly why Barnes was on point with those field goals. Because you had some silly activists at the Southside Complex on Friday talking mad smack on him. He was like, hey, Barnes, that's why you missed the field goal during preseason. It's going to haunt you all season. Barnes just looked at him, shrugged him off, went out there and did his business.
Yeah,
and we got the win.
By all accounts, and that's Tom, the guy who delivers all the water to the UPMC Rudy Sports Complex.
Right.
We love Tom, number one, in the car there. Boswell, by all accounts, had a terrible camp.
Yeah, he did.
Like, missed a bunch of field goals in camp. And he goes out there on a 3rd and 6. Hey, Cordero, why don't you take this for 3 yards? Let's set up the 57-yarder. My God.
Nailed it.
Laser beam.
Whew.
Thing would have been good from at least 58. Tom, this one from New Jersey. Hello.
Hello. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Tom.
The big thing that I loved about that game yesterday was the offense kept the defense off the field and
yes.
gave them the rest that they needed to do what they did during the rest of the game. And you're right. How many 3-and-outs did Atlanta have? I mean, it was a huge number compared to what we had. And I loved the Justin Fields when he was rolling out to the opposite side. That gave him so much time and so much space to do what he wanted to do.
We're going to get into the defense in full form here soon, but you can't discount, as Doran brought up earlier, the offense's role in all of that. And thank you for the call, Tom. So Atlanta had 3 and outs, and then two drives that went two plays because the Steelers had interceptions on the second play of the drive. So 5 times the defense was off the field in 3 or fewer plays versus just 2 for the Steelers offense, which we've watched in the last few years. That's a departure the way it has been.
Mm-hmm.
So I am excited. I am cautiously optimistic, Doran, about the offense. When you play the higher scoring teams in the league, this is the exact way you're going to beat them. You're going to hold the ball. You're going to run the ball. Punch in a few more for 6, and you can compete. But you're on to Denver. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. You can hit us up on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Steelers did wind up having a guy suffer a serious injury yesterday, and it's no good. We'll talk about that coming up next.
Doing something he's never done right here, though. It's a line drive. Avery Williams from the 40.
That's
can't
really
get away. Excellent special teams coverage from Scotty Miller.
And how about Chris Boswell with the first punt of his career? The man can do it all. Should absolutely be the AFC Special Teams Player of the Week.
No doubt.
5 field goals, 3 from 50-plus. He's the best kicker in football, I think.
Right now. Tucker missed a field goal the other night, right?
I think, yeah, he did. Yeah. Tucker is 10 for his last 20 from 50-plus.
Oh, wow.
And Boswell just went 3 for 3 in his first game. Under-discussed story in Baltimore is their Superman kicker still being very good, but not hitting from distance the way that he used to. But here's the bad news. The injury report is brought to you by Shenderovich, Shenderovich, and Fishman. They've got your back, not your wallet. And Cameron Johnston, that looked really bad. Really bad. Mike Tomlin called it a significant injury following the game. Looked like a knee. And Mike Tomlin was really singing his praises.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about him being an elite punter, and he is. And that was a storyline this offseason for a team that we know wants to run the ball and play defense. Field position is such a big deal. Now you're going to have to get out on the scrap heap and pick up a punter. And that's significant, man. Like, that is going to affect things moving forward. You might wind up with a good punter. They haven't had a good punter in a very long time. They were supposed to have one this year. You feel awful for the guy. But I don't want to minimize it. I think that's a big deal, man.
Yeah, it's very significant. Knowing the situation you were in last year and the year before, Presley Harvin, he's awful. And I saw his name pop up of available punters, and I'm like, there's no way they go back to that well.
Geez.
My question for you is, why was that not a penalty?
Beats the hell out of me, man.
Well, they call it a penalty, I think, on the personal protector of a holding penalty, but why is that not a penalty?
Running it into should the have been. It absolutely should have been. I mean, we talked about why this was a poorly officiated game. Didn't even bring that one up. That should have been a roughing.
Roughing, yeah.
He hit him in the kicking leg.
Yeah.
That and blew out his knee. That should be roughing. And Najee Harris got his helmet ripped off, which is the most obvious.
While the ref was standing right there.
My mom texts me and she goes, isn't that a penalty? I said, yeah, it's a penalty. She goes, well, why didn't he call it? Well, I mean, clearly he didn't see it, I guess, which is ridiculous. Terribly officiated game. The injury report brought to you by Shenderovich, Shenderovich, and Fishman. They've got your back, not your wallet. Not to be forgotten, though, Scotty Miller runs down the field. Not a big guy. Great punt given the circumstances from Boswell. And Scotty Miller goes down, cracks him. 0-yard return.
Mm-hmm.
And Scotty Miller, the backup holder, because Cameron Johnston's the holder. And so he was the holder for a big kick late in the game that stretched it to an 8-point game. So a little clap there for Scotty Miller.
Yeah. Good job, Scotty.
Didn't do anything within the framework of the offense, but hey, the more you can do. I don't think of Scotty Miller as a traditional gunner because he's not the biggest guy in the world.
No.
And yet, he looked pretty good.
Uh-huh.
And you don't really think about those things. Like, you really don't ever think about the long snapper unless something goes bad. You never think about the holder unless something goes bad. Good for him. Didn't miss a beat. Bang. Drills the thing. So I think good moments all around, offense, defense, and special teams in this game. And Chris Boswell, man, is a cheat code. You think he might want to play in a dome?
Seriously.
Seriously. Like the difference between kicking a 57-yard field goal inside in Atlanta and then in December in Pittsburgh, it's like kicking a rock, man.
Yep. Needed him.
And you needed him. And you knew when he hit the first kick, all right, you're good.
Yep.
Because I was a little nervous just hearing, reading all the things that we heard and we read and that a lot of people saw in training camp. That's a guy that you can't afford to take a step back. The Steelers, again, find a way to win a one-score game under Mike Tomlin. The Steelers, again, win the turnover battle, which is what they've done now for the last few years. When they lose the turnover battle, they lose. When they win the turnover battle, they win. But special teams are going to play a big role in that when the margins are so tight. And for the Steelers, that's the way they like to play. The margins are tight.
Yeah. Fascinated to see who they do sign.
That really stinks. He was going to be elite for them this year. He was going to be outstanding for them this year. And we talked about time of possession and what that means for the Steelers defense. But as Bill Hillgrove often says, the long field challenge, that matters too.
Mm-hmm.
It's an offensive league, and if you're starting at the 25 instead of the 35, it's an extra first down. And, hey, Jeff Reed was signed on a tryout. We've seen this kind of thing before. But if you are a punter that is currently unemployed, you're not going to be elite. Doesn't mean you can't be fine, but you're not going to be elite. 412-928-9370. Your heart care matters. We'd like you back after this break. Trust the experts at UPMC and get your heart screened. Coming up at 7 o'clock, let's get into it. Who should start at quarterback for the Steelers against the Denver Broncos? 412-928-9370. That's also the subject of the Fan Morning Show Twitter poll, so get in there and vote, and we'll give you the tally coming up at 7. But up next, how about the Pitt Minute? Pitt goes on the road, gets a big dub against Cincinnati, and a historic one at that.
Here's the snap. It's down. The kick by Sauls on its way. That kick is up. That kick is good. With 17 seconds to go, the Panthers have come all the way back to take a one-point lead. Sorsby barks back with a snap. Sets up. Fires it over the middle. It is caught. They lateral, and they get it at the 35. Panthers miss a tackle, miss another. Turning it to the 34-yard line. They throw it, and it's
ball game, baby. Let's go.
Ball game.
Hail to Pitt.
Ball game.
Hail to Pitt.
Look at those Panthers celebrate, and the Pitt fans celebrate as well. One of the greatest comebacks in the history of University of Pittsburgh football we have witnessed at Nippert Stadium today.
Hey, Cincinnati. Hey, student section. I heard a lot of eat, you know what, Pitt. Eat that.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. It's our Pitt Minute here. We'll get back to the Steelers at 7 o'clock in this quarterback decision they got to make before the Broncos game. Get in line now. Who do you want to see start against the Broncos? 412-928-9370. Doran, you were there for the nip slip at Nippert Stadium, where Pitt at one point had a 1% chance of winning the football game. Your thoughts?
I just thought it. I mean, the word that comes to mind is they just kept fighting. They kept believing in each other, and that was a character win.
Oh.
I mean, if there's any character wins out there, that is a character win. They knew they needed to win that game. That game is very important. Now, I know it's Cincinnati, and they're not a great football team, but I don't care who you're playing. If you come back from that deficit and you end up winning a football game, it is very significant. I mean, Eli Holstein looked like he got his first start on JV as a ninth grader in the first half. Honestly, he was skittish in the pocket. He wasn't looking down the field. Everything was off. He had 91 yards in the first half, in the second half, and at the end of the game, he completed the game with over 300 yards passing. I mean, the guy just at halftime just figured it out, got settled in. Everybody kept their faith in him on the sidelines, teammates, coaches. Talked to Cade Bell after the game. He's like, he's young. It's going to happen. But he showed us that he can fight through some adversity. And that's what you ask for. And you go up and you clean it up. But, like, that is I'm telling you right now, I think that at some point in this season for the Pitt football team, you're going to look back at this game and be like, thank God that we fought, we came back, and we won that game on the road against Cincinnati. because that was our probably foundation of the season. I'm telling you right now, man, just the way the schedule plays out.
Tunch used to talk about it all the time, points of reference. You need that point of reference. There's going to be a time where they're down in a football game again going forward.
Yep.
And they're going to believe. When you come back like that with not a ton of time left to do it. I mean, there are about 4 minutes left in the third quarter. When you come back like that, you can, in your mind, do it against anybody. Anytime, any place. So I'm with you on that. And then you had Bostic.
Eat that.
Which is just outstanding.
Eat that.
Eat that, Cincinnati
Eat that.
Fans.
Eat that.
And I think it's more impressive, oddly, that Eli Holstein was bad and then really good than if he just would have gone out there and thrown for 500 yards.
Mm-hmm.
I think if he would have just gone out there and thrown for 500 yards, we'd have been going, ah, Cincinnati sucks.
Exactly.
But he struggled. There's no doubt about that. And then he was elite in the second half,
yeah.
Which for a young guy, second career start, first on the road, to do that, to have that in there, to not go in the tank, super impressive. I think Pitt's got a really good one there.
Yeah, and then even the guys around him, I mean, guys were open in the first half. Yep. There was a lot of opportunities in the first half that he just missed, but guys kept at it. Nobody got into the tank. You know, the receivers didn't go into the tank. The offensive line didn't go into the tank. I mean, Corleone, I think, had one tackle.
Mm-hmm.
One tackle. So, Lyndon Cooper, you know, held that down. So, that is a very, very significant win. I know that they're, you know, I know it's Cincinnati, but it's very significant. You'll watch and see as we approach this season.
Who do they play on Saturday?
I don't know. Who?
Is it a big game?
I don't know. Is it?
Brawl week, baby.
You tell me if it is.
Brawl week, baby.
You're not feeling too good over there. I know that.
I don't. If I had to pick the game right now, and I don't, but I will right now, I think Pitt's going to win the football game, but we'll get into that over the course of the week. This Pitt Minute on the Fan, presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. All right, here's the conversation, the big one of the day. Steelers win 18-10. First place in the AFC North, baby. Who do you start at quarterback against the Denver Broncos next week? Did you see enough out of Justin Fields to want to see more? Do you hand it right over to Russell Wilson? Not a lot of middle-of-the-field stuff at all from Justin Fields. Where are you going with the quarterback? 412-928-9370. Best caller on that question wins tickets to All Elite Wrestling at Peterson Event Center on October 2nd. 412-928-9370. We'll talk about that when we come back. First, though, fan weather. Brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500. 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms at sunchevy.com.